Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been studying the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the world, and of course, especially in the lives of individual believers. How wonderful it is to know that in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us in the world. It is not enough simply that God has given us the hope of eternal life someday when we die, but rather He has also helped us through our lives with the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so in the long series of messages, we've been considering this ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer who is open and tender and willing to partake of these ministries of the Holy Spirit, and how every need of the lives of every believer can be met if we are really depending upon Him and appropriating His work in our lives. In the first part of this study, in a long series of messages, we took the work of the Holy Spirit in a very general way. We looked at a number of different passages of scriptures from the Gospels and from the Epistles, and we took His work in a very general way in our lives. We didn't try to delve deeply into any one ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we simply tried to note every instance where His ministry is mentioned, and what are some of these ministries that we could expect to be true in our lives today. For instance, in the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16, we noted there were 10 different things, 10 different promises by the Lord Jesus concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit whom He would send from heaven after His resurrection and His ascension back into heaven again. Then we looked into the book of Acts, the empowering work of the Spirit, and we looked into the epistles, the various other ministries we could expect from the Holy Spirit. And how wonderful it is to recognize the wide range of ministries the Holy Spirit has in our lives. And now in this last half of this series of messages, we're looking at some special topics concerning the Holy Spirit. Topical studies of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. First of all, we took the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our lives and in our individual walk in the world and in church life. And how important the subject of gifts is. We mentioned that there's so much misunderstanding on this subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So much misunderstanding. A lot of false teaching that we hear on television and on the radio, and these have to do with the gifts of the Spirit, which people imagine even are still present in the world today. The scriptures are very clear. There are few of these gifts that were used in the apostolic times which are not present today. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, for instance. The teaching is very clear that these gifts are no longer needed, no longer present, because now we have the complete and final Word of God itself through the Old and the New Testament. In that day they did not have the New Testament, therefore they needed some of these very special sign gifts. These are not present in the world anymore today. However, we Christians are encouraged by the fact that most of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still present with us today. We can depend upon these gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we do depend upon them in individual living and in church life. The second subject we took was the work of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. We pointed out, first of all, that the Holy Spirit works in the life of the one who is doing the evangelizing. In other words, as I, as a humble servant of the Lord, go out and try to win others to Christ, as any Christian, as a humble servant of the Lord, does the same thing, this person can depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit in his life to empower him, to lead him, to guide him in every possible way, and of course to prepare the hearts of the people ahead of him to receive the word which he's about to give them. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the one receiving the gospel. There is the unsaved man, who in himself, dead in trespasses and in sins, would be incapable of understanding and grasping and laying hold of the teaching that he is being taught by us. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit also to work in his heart. The Holy Spirit convicts him of sin. The Holy Spirit enlightens him concerning his need of a Savior and what the saving method of God is, how we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, what has he done, what is my responsibility as an unsaved person before him. And then the Holy Spirit also, of course, helps draw him to the Lord Jesus. In other words, keeps him from going farther into sin, and rather draws him towards the truth. Then the Holy Spirit regenerates him, lives in his life, and so forth. So we talked about how the Holy Spirit works, both in the one who carries the gospel and the one who hears the word. And then the third ministry we talked about was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our study, understanding, and application of the Word of God. Now this has to do with the Christian. It has to do with the individual Christian's walk with the Lord. How, as I read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is enlightening my heart. He is dealing with me in every possible way. We made a distinction in our study of this between the inspiring work of God when he gave the truth by inspiration to the Old and the New Testament writers, and the illuminating work of God, which is still going on in the world today in the lives of God's people. We pointed out that we in ourselves could not understand the Word of God. Now, God is not giving any new word. There are no new revelations from God whatsoever. We have emphasized this truth again and again and again. There are no new revelations from God. But the illuminated work of the Spirit is still going on. We can still depend upon Him as I sit down and as I open my Bible and begin to read the Word, and depending, of course, upon Him as I read. But I can depend upon Him to absolutely open my eyes to the truth I am reading. So even with a newborn Christian, providing he is not reading books that are what we call the meat of the Word, but he's reading the milk of the Word, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. But the newborn Christian can open the Word of God, and with the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit can understand the Word of God, can grasp its truth, then can apply it to his lives. And so the newborn Christian might begin with a passage which is much easier to understand. He might begin with the Gospel of John, for instance, or with some simpler book of the Bible, but he can understand it. So we talked about this ministry of the Holy Spirit in the study, understanding, and application of the Word of God. Now today, I want to begin the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the fourth study that we're doing, a topical study. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual growth and in our faithful walk with the Lord. How important this truth is. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We'll be dealing with various other passages of Scripture dealing with this subject. But how wonderful that truth is, that by the Holy Spirit, we can look into the Word of God and we can grow thereby. And our spiritual growth is what we're emphasizing, not just the illuminating work of the Spirit, but the spiritual growth as a responsibility in our own lives. Once we have been saved, no true Christian would be satisfied with less than all that God has planned for his life as he lives in this world as a Christian. Nor would any true Christian choose to ignore the spiritual responsibilities that he has and we have in our new relationship with the Lord. In other words, that's what a true Christian is. A true Christian is one who's not satisfied simply to be saved and then to go ahead and live his life as he pleases. No true Christian would live like this. The true Christian is not satisfied with anything less than what God has planned for his life, all that God expects of him, in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be dealing with this passage a little bit later. On the one hand, I want to emphasize the blessings and results of our salvation are beyond all comparison with anything we knew before in our unsaved state. Sometimes we Christians feel that the responsibilities of the Christian life are so great and so strict, is it really worth it to be a Christian? And God's answer would be, absolutely, it's worth it to be a Christian. The blessings and the favor of God and the results of our salvation are beyond all comparison with anything we knew before in our unsaved state. No matter what God requires of us, it is absolutely worth it to be a Christian. We rejoice in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what God is asking of us, no matter what sacrifices we might need to make, we rejoice in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in the fact that things are different for us now. So we've been delivered from our old sinful and lost condition. We've been brought into saving relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we not only have the hope of eternal life with Him as we live on this earth, but we've also come under His loving care as our Heavenly Father. How wonderful it is to go to Him and to pray to Him as our Heavenly Father, the one who lovingly and tenderly cares for us. And then also, and we see this in Ephesians chapter 1, for instance, verses 3 to 14, God has also opened the windows of heaven to us so that we might receive all of His favor and blessing in our daily lives. So we don't feel sorry for ourselves in our responsibilities as Christians in the matter of our growth and our faithful walk with the Lord. Rather, we rejoice that things are different and that we now have in the Lord Jesus Christ things we never could have had in any other way in our unsaved state. And so it's worth it, absolutely, to live for Him and to be everything He wants us to be. Now, on the other hand, once we recognize how much we have to give thanks for, once we recognize what our new relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to us, once we recognize and accept this, on the other hand, our new life in Christ has also brought us new responsibilities towards God. Now, these are responsibilities that we never had in our old life. When we were related to Satan and to his people, we never had any responsibilities at all towards God. In other words, He didn't ask anything of us. He didn't expect anything of us. We were lost in sin. We were going to be condemned forever to hell apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is clearly brought out in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, where it talks about our relationship with Satan before, and Satan's people before, and Satan's amusements and Satan's habits in our lives, and the sins which occupied our time and our energies. We see this, and then it concludes with these words: "We were children of wrath, even as others." As that was our destiny as far as the unsaved state was concerned. We see this in Galatians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. And where we see our old unsaved state and what it was before. But we also see in Galatians 5 and Ephesians chapter 5 that there are both positive and negative instructions for us now in our Christian lives. In other words, these become our responsibilities before God. We now have great responsibility before God in the Christian life, which we never had before. We see this again in Colossians chapter 3, where phrases like "put on" and "put off" are repeatedly used. And these indicate what is and what is not acceptable to God in our lives. So there are negative instructions, there are positive instructions for the Christian life, things we're to put off and things we're put on. We see this again in the repeated challenges concerning our walk in the world. You look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, Colossians 2, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Now this walk is to be strict in nature and is to be completely pleasing to the Lord. We're going to be dealing with this as we go deeper into this subject. It's going to be very strict from God, and we have to accept the strictness of God's requirements for us. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification." Now, sanctification has to do, first of all, with separation from sin. But it also has to do with separation unto holiness. That's the idea of put off and put on. That's what sanctification is all about. And so if I'm living in God's will, God expects me to be sanctified. He expects me to be holy in my daily living. Now, we'll be discussing this a little bit more. Though the Holy Spirit indwells us and is completely accessible to us in every way, there is a danger that we will ignore His work and His presence in our lives, both to give us our own strength in living our lives and also fulfilling God's purposes and God's desires in our lives. And so I'm going to be emphasizing this over the course of several different messages, this whole idea of our responsibilities before God. And again, I want to say to you, don't feel sorry for your lives in the Christian life. Don't feel sorry for yourselves in the Christian life. Rather, rejoice in what God has made you and what God has brought into your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have this feeling of self-pity and sorrow for yourselves, you're completely unspiritual in your approach to God. Rather, rejoice in everything God has done in and for you, and accept from God the responsibilities that He wants to lay upon you. And so I want to leave this with you for today. We'll be continuing this subject in the next few messages. May the Lord bless you, each one.